Welcome to JVL. Listen and learn from Japan's venture leaders about the promising startup ecosystem in the land of the rising sun. Hey there, I'm Kento, your host for JVL, and today I'm talking to Hirariu. Hirariu is the founder of Zen House, an under 25-year-old founder share house in Tokyo with a focus on mental and physical well-being. Hirariu himself is a founder under 25 and has dedicated himself to startups ever since he dropped out of university a couple of years ago. There were two aspects which motivated me to talk to him. Firstly, Hirariu took a very unconventional path in Japan to quit university and pursue his dreams in entrepreneurship. After his very first business in Tokyo, he decided to challenge himself by moving to Egypt, which is even rarer. So I wanted to understand his mindset and future plans better. Secondly, I was curious about the young founder scene in Japan. What kind of businesses are they working on? What are they struggling with? As Hirariu spends his time living and coaching these founders, I had to talk to him to learn more. So let's dive in together and see what he can share about these topics and much more. Thanks for listening and please enjoy my conversation with Hirariu. So Hirariu, thanks a lot for taking the time and welcome to the newest episode of the Japan's Venture Leaders podcast. I'm very excited to have you here. Obviously, we already met once the first time I came to Japan around a year ago, but I'm very happy to talk to you again. And how are you doing?
Yeah, it's been a while. Yeah, I'm good.
So the reason why I wanted to talk to you today is like a lot of different reasons. Obviously, the big topic that I want to reflect on with you is what the under 25 founder scene in Japan looks like, since you are kind of one of the names in that ecosystem that frequently pop up. And since you're also like running your own founder's house with Zen House, exactly for these young founders in Japan, I thought you could help us, me and the listeners, get a better understanding of like what's the mindset of young founders in Japan right now. And aside from that, I think you have a very interesting kind of background. Although you're kind of born and raised in Japan, I feel like you have a very like untraditional way of thinking and kind of the way you act. And so I also wanted to like pick on those specific stories because I think those are also interesting to hear from any listener's perspective. That's kind of what I want to do with you today. And the first thing I think, there's obviously a podcast so people can't see the screens right now, but thing that like usually pops up into people's eyes when they see you is that you're bald. I think in your case, medical conditions, but it's kind of a reflection of your mindset as a person. And so before we go into all the startup topics, I first just wanted to ask you, like, what was the reason why you shaved your head?
Yeah, good question. Yeah, actually, I had long hair, you know, before, you know, I got bald. But this is because, you know, 2 months ago, you know, I failed my business in Egypt. Actually, I tried to start my startup in Egypt and I came back to Japan 2 months ago. And I thought, you know, I had several reasons that I failed in Egypt. But, you know, I thought I have to change myself or something, you know, in order not to do same mistakes. And I, you know, somehow I thought I have to throw away something important things.
Okay, yeah.
And then I came up the idea like, oh, hair. I do have hair.
Yeah.
But I had beard, so.
Yeah. I mean, I remember when I first met you, you had like a lot of hair. And I don't know if that's something that you're really proud of a year ago. But I think for anybody in our age to like completely shave their head for that reason, I think it's definitely a bold or interesting move. Very interesting to hear. And so now you're back in Japan after your time in Egypt, and now you're working on Zen House. So I wanted to have you tell us a little bit more about what is Zen House and why did you start?
Thank you. Yeah, Zen House is a shared house for young founders in Tokyo. And we're running in Omori. It's a jail like Keihin Tohoku. And we support of their business, of course, their startup business. And unique point are mental health and physical health, you know, through our special program. Yeah. And, you know, the reason I started is like we have been this field, like startup support field, for 2 years, and I always, you know, considering and also researching what is the real happiness, well-being for founders, and what is the essence of startup support. And I've been always considered, and then I found the answer. That is Zenhouse. Yeah, something like that.
Okay. Yeah. And for the listeners who don't know, your background is also that before you went to Egypt, you also had another share house, right? That you called Heimat Inc.
Yes, right.
And so what would you say are like the big differences between how you run Zenhouse now in comparison to how you ran Heimat back then?
Yeah, you mean the last share house that I ran?
Yes, exactly.
Okay,
yes.
Yeah. The differences are, you know, now Zenhouse is like focusing on like supporting mental health and physical health. You know, last one before, you know, I ran, you know, I've been running like share house for 2 years for founders. And that is for, you know, community and also more supporting business. But, you know, throughout my experience, like in Egypt and also these 2 years, you know, I thought, you know, it's also good. Connection and money, you know, community, they're so good. But, you know, I felt, you know, something is like different. You know, I've been thinking 2 years. And then I got mental sick, like, you know, in Egypt. And then I spent a lot of time myself. And I thought, if you don't have good mental and good physical health, you can't do anything. Yeah. If you are, you know, temporary motivated, it's not going to work for a long time. So I thought mental health and physical health, well-being is the most important thing for founders.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I think like listening to a lot of like startup podcasts and listening to like what a lot of startup coaches and mentors often talk about is also what you mentioned, that founders have to treat their body like an athlete.
Yes,
it's
right.
It's a very physical sport that requires a lot of like energy, you know, not just from your body,
right.
But also from your mind. And maybe could you also tell us a little bit more about the kind of program you offer at Zenhouse? Like maybe talking a little bit about like how you spend the day with the founders could give a good insight.
Yeah, our content is very simple. Like one is like first one is like special routine. Yeah, and everyone wakes up at 5:30 in the morning every day. And the first 30 minutes, like we like in a workout or running. And after that, you know, we take in a cold shower and then we meditate after that. Yeah. And after that, we do, you know, we work for 1 hour and a half. And after working, like, you know, I cook breakfast for them. And we eat together and then we spend good morning routine. And at 6, like we had dinner, we have dinner and we go to bed, you know, till like 10 o'clock. Yeah, that is first one. And second one is, you know, I'm doing coaching. Like the founders set their goal for mental health and physical health. For example, stop drinking or, you know, decreasing number of like cigarettes and also like cleaning your room or, you know, a lot of tiny stuff. It's fine. And then I'm coaching their, how you say, habit and improving, like, you know, their habit the better.
And so now you have like a couple of founders living at your Zenhouse. And what is like the feedback that these founders gave you so far? Like, what did they expect to like get out of this kind of special mental health oriented lifestyle? And what is the reality of like how much they're benefiting from caring more about their mental health?
You know, it's so difficult to answer because like well-being stuff is very difficult to realize, you know, number stuff. But everyone says like the effective of working is way, way increasing. Yeah, but it's very simple because we work a lot and we don't go drinking. We don't smoke. We don't drink. You know, we have more time and good mental and physical health. So, you know, it's very simple. We do a lot. So they do a lot and they make a success and they got confidence. And, you know, they like Den House, something like that. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds really good. And so, I mean, you also have a big network of founders, and I think a lot of people also who are founders would listen to the JVL podcast. So if you could give founders who don't get the chance to live at Zen House any advice to improve their mental health, what would be like one thing that you would advise people to do?
Wake up early. Yeah, that's very simple. But, you know, the advice is, you know, don't focus morning. Focus on night routine. Yeah, because, like, you know, when people sleep, you can get up. But, you know, you can't control, like, you know, like when you like, go to bed. Yeah, so night routine is the most important, you know, for your, like, yeah, physical and mental health. Yeah. Like, for example, don't use smartphone, like, before going to bed. Or, you know, like, it's very simple. Yeah, particularly smartphone. It's really bad sometimes. Yeah. It's too convenient.
So, like, how much before going to sleep would you advise not to use the smartphone?
1 hour. Yeah, 1 hour. 1 hour, like, you know, 1 hour ago, like, before sleeping. Like, you stop to, you know, use it.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a very hard thing to... Or, like, yeah, it's just a question of the mindset, right? Like, you just... don't use the smartphone for an hour, but it's kind of such a big part of our lives nowadays that I think a lot of people kind of struggle with that. But yeah, I've also heard that advice a lot, like watch out that you, like, don't use a smartphone too early, like kind of too close to going to bed, maybe not do like too hard workouts before you go to bed also. And then, like, I also heard that if you drink, like, water too close before going to bed, then you also might wake up from that during the night. So that was also something that I heard people say. But yeah, and where are you trying to take Zen House in the future? Like, what would you say is the vision of Zen House for you?
Yeah, vision of Zen House. Good question. Thank you. And firstly, I want to move to Kyoto.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, because, like, Kyoto has, like, you know, very... Kyoto is more traditional town, and it's very suitable for working, you know, Zen House there.
Oh, I see.
I think.
Yeah.
And also, like, I want to do, of course, India and Asian country and African, like, which has huge, like, history and traditional stuff. Yeah, I want to do Zen House, like, such countries.
So you want to, like, open new Zen Houses in other areas?
Yes, right. You know, before I thought, you know, I want to do online and make a unicorn. But now, you know, I feel like I ask myself, like, what is important thing for you? It's a real life, real communication. And I quit, you know, focusing on online. And now I'm focusing on offline and, you know, connect people and, you know, train together, you know, and improvement our mental health and physical health. And it's I think it's strongly, like, you know, connected religion and culture and traditional stuff. So that's why I want to do, like, such as countries and areas.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. So you mentioned, like, initially you wanted to maybe focus on, like, the thing that everyone talks about, like, high growth, unicorn, targeted companies that everyone nowadays seems to, like, want to strive for if you're a founder. And now you want to focus more on, like, maybe not target, like, super high and unhealthy growth, but you want to somehow keep the connection, the human to human bond, and try to focus more on the health, mental health aspect, and then keeping that relationship. What would you say out of these things that you, like, focus on your life or during your life is the thing that motivates you to do that? I think you have a very interesting background of you didn't finish university. You decided to drop out to start your first share house. You went to Egypt to try entrepreneurship there. Now you go back to Japan with Zen House, try to, like, do your own thing. What would you say is, like, the motivation behind you trying all these different things that, especially in Japan, where people value just the traditional career path a lot? I feel like it's kind of harder to do than maybe in other countries to follow that kind of, like, weird path. So what would you say is, like, the motivation why you want to pursue
these motivation.
New things.
Yeah. Yeah, good question. And motivation is, I just like, you know, I just love creating something, you know, from my philosophy and from my ideas. And, you know, for me, you know, working is like creation. Yeah. So for my business, like, it's in capitalism, but it's not, you know, it's also, how you say, out of, like, capitalism. Like, it's so difficult to say, but, you know, and, you know, I really like to express, you know, my ideas, philosophy, and expression. And then if people like it, I'm really happy. And also, like, you know, before you know, going to Egypt, I really wanted to make a unicorn and the big tech startup. But, you know, after Egypt, after coming back to Japan, like, I changed my mind because I learned a lot of things in other countries, like this last year, I mean. Yeah, I went to a lot of countries, and then, like, not perfectly, but I found, like, the problem of the current of capitalism. Yeah. And then I thought, you know, I couldn't accept this problem and situation right now. And I thought, like, if I, you know, follow now current of capitalism, like, I just, you know, felt like I hurt the people and I hurt, like, myself. And, like, roughly speaking, you know, yeah. So I changed my mind and I decided myself just doing what I want to do and what I want to express. Yeah.
So you want to find a way to, like, share your philosophy with, or your philosophy or values with people in order to help them. And you feel like if you kind of go the traditional route of, like, a striving for a unicorn startup, then that would also kind of support too much the traditional, maybe capitalism storyline. And you fear that a lot of people along that way might get hurt or might not get what they want.
Yeah. And I noticed that, you know, GDP and people's well-being do not match right now. You know, so my thinking is kind of blockchain or Bitcoin, but the money is, like, you know, how you say, money is just, it's not spread equally in the capitalism. Yeah. So it's just for, like, several people or several areas. And then I think it's too much. Yeah. So, you know, I quit to spread a lot of people. I just, you know, commit for few people, but strongly. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that's kind of something that you don't hear a lot of founders talk about. So I think in that sense, it seems like you have found some very interesting findings during your time in Egypt. And I hope your endeavor also goes well here in Japan. I'm not sure if you will then move to Kyoto and kind of out of Tokyo, but let's see how that goes. So thanks a lot for sharing, like, your background with Zenhouse and how you're currently thinking about startups. Now I think I want to spend some time thinking about like the under 25 year old founder scene in general. So we obviously have an example with you of one type of founder existing in Japan. And I was wondering if we can get your help in understanding if a lot of other under 25 year old founders think like you, or what's kind of the general mindset and the goals of young people in Japan who want to somehow be active in the startup scene. So the first question I wanted to ask here to understand that is, how would you describe under 25 year old founders in Japan right now?
Yeah, now, like, you know, startup ecosystem in Japan are very, very nice. It's been really getting better. And at the same time, the, you know, number of, you know, people who want to, like, you know, do startup are increasing. And I can say, but, you know, under 25 founders really tend to do, I think, small business or small IPO or small, you know, exit firstly. it's not for, you know, Facebook or, you know, or like it's not aiming for unicorn. Like firstly, you know, step by step, like we're doing firstly doing exit or like selling companies. Yeah. And I got the impression.
Okay. So yeah. you're seeing that a lot of young founders, their goal is to somehow find a way to quickly exit their company.
Yes, right.
Mm-hmm. Would you say like these people are mainly motivated by making money quickly, or what would you say is the motivation? I mean, you also have like founders living at Zen House, yeah. And then I think you're also connected with other young founders in Japan. But what would you say is the motivation of these young founders when they do startups?
Yeah, and I think they want money and they want to do bigger one again. Yeah. So they don't, you know, think, you know, they think like, you know, it's gonna not working, you know, if I, you know, aiming for unicorn firstly. So firstly, like, you know, I make money and then, you know, bet another one.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay. It's very Japanese thinking, I think. Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
yeah.
And these people, what they usually found right after graduating from university, or are there also people who graduate university, join maybe a big company somewhere in Japan, and then use the money they earn from that to then start a company? What are you seeing there?
Like, you know, speaking of, you know, under 25, they are doing, you know, going university, I think. Yeah, like mostly when they graduate, like they won't come back. Yeah. So they do like, you know, startup at the same time or create university. But mostly like, you know, they do startup, you know, at this, you know, going to university. Very much type.
And so for these people who during the university also found their startup on the side, they after graduating university then also work full time on their startup?
Yes, right.
Is there any... I mean, obviously, it's kind of hard to get a general sense of like all under 25-year-old founders in Japan, but amongst the people you know, is there any pattern on what kind of startups the young people are currently interested in?
Of course, crypto and also well-being, like me.
Crypto and well-being, okay.
Yeah, crypto and well-being, yeah, it's opposite, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Not opposite, but yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It's visually, yeah. And e-commerce.
By well-being, you mean like what kind of other well-being focused startups are there besides having like a share house that focuses a lot on mental health?
Yeah, for example, matching, you know, for, you know, mental teacher to, you know, and like people who want it. And also like some, like one startup like is just, you know, providing for nurse. And also for mental health, also diary app, exchange diary app, and also coaching stuff, and also like my friends provide for company,
like well-being services to companies.
Yeah, well-being service and like manage better and, you know, like communicate better.
Okay, so it looks like there's a very diverse offering also within just wellness offerings, and. One thing that I'm always wondering, especially thinking about very young founders, is the question of how people learn how to found a company. Like founding a company is obviously also very dependent on the kind of startup you want to found. But I think there are like some general best practices on like, how do you build a prototype? How do you test that? How do you talk to users? These kind of very basic skills that I think are relevant for all founders. I know how like people try to educate themselves in other countries. Like nowadays, there are so many university courses about entrepreneurship and a lot of like different student organizations that also focus on startups. But for the people you know in your ecosystem, what would you say is the way how young founders in Japan learn about how to found a startup?
Yeah, I think we have two options. Like first is internship, yeah, and second is media. But, you know, without two things, it's not advanced, I think. Yeah, government official things are... Now, I think you're doing right. Yeah, but it's not advanced. Yeah. And also, like, education and also, like, environment in university or high school, it's not advanced, I think. But media and internship are the, you know, the best way, I think.
And internships at startups or...
Yeah, internship at startup.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
And besides internships at startups, you mentioned media. What kind of media do Japanese people consume for startups? Are there like YouTube channels or podcasts?
Yeah, YouTube channel or Newspecs, Vivot. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So like... Japanese people usually consume a lot of like Japanese media about startups to learn more about that kind of topic.
Yeah, right. But, you know, sadly, I think only 1% or 2% university student use it. So other 90%, 95%, like even don't know what is Newspecs or what is Fibon.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, that is a real
problem. Interesting. And yeah. One thing that I also kind of familiarized myself with while growing up in Germany and also having international friends is a lot of people, when they want to like learn about startups, a lot of times the kind of media that people like read about are also from the US or like very international media sources, where kind of, yeah, I think like the amount of information that you can get in English is like a lot more and probably also like a lot newer than oftentimes like the kind of information you can consume in Japan. So I was wondering, do Japanese young people also spend some time like researching stuff on English, or is it like mainly through these Japanese sources how people learn about startups?
Yeah, this is the hugest problem. They only, you know, catch the information from Japanese, and the quality is not bad. Yeah, but it's not good. Yeah. So we always late for trends, you know, and crypt. Every day is, you know, we get a lot of news, but you know, when we translate and we it publish, it's too late. Yeah, that is like one of the biggest problem in Japan. They don't speak English and they don't read English.
But the way I understood it is, even though a lot of people lack the confidence to speak English in Japan, most people are able to read English, right?
Yeah, I think.
So in that case, like reading and listening, if those skills are there, then the question is like, why don't more people in Japan also consume more like English-speaking media, right? Is it just that if you read in Japanese, it's like a little bit quicker, so that's why you just always start reading and listening in Japanese? Or what do you think is the reason? Because I think, like you, a lot of people in Japan probably know that they can get more relevant information on English, right? So what's kind of preventing them to also consume media in English?
Yeah, they're just like lazy for doing that, I think. Yeah. And also, it's very simple. They just lazy for doing this. And also, like, Japan is very domestic market. So it's not necessary to do it. Because, like some people are getting news from US and they do the same business in Japan. But mostly, like, they, like, have, like, they think, I want to do it, like, more, like, new things. Because in Japan, there are a lot of different, you know, needs and problems, you know, compared to other countries. So it's a very unique country. So that is one of like reason that they only catch Japanese news. Yeah, the market is very domestic.
Yeah, makes sense. And now I think one of the big things, like next to mental health, that you like want to go for with Zen House is also like kind of succeed on the global stage. Sekai de katsu you na jigyo, you're writing on your Zen House description. So what are things that you think are important for the founders at Zen House to have to be able to succeed, not just in Japan, but also on the global stage?
Yeah, I think there are three. One is work smart. You know, Japanese are so hard worker and they committed a lot of times. but the quality is like, you know, it's challenge. Yeah, it's problem. But, you know, they work, you know, smart. And for working smart, you have to control your mind and also your body. So that is, you know, what I do, you know. And second is challenging. Yeah. And people think, young founders like think like too much, like, oh, this is difficult, this is difficult. Yeah, because it's difficult, we do. Yeah.
Yeah, you have to do it, yeah.
Yeah, you have to do it. You know, I failed, but, you know, you'll never know if you don't challenge, right? Yeah, so just do it. And if you failed, just, you know, come to Zen House and just do it again.
Yeah, okay. And the third thing, so you mentioned work smart, challenge yourself.
Yeah, third thing's English. Yeah. My English is not like a native and also like not good, but, you know, I can communicate. It's fine. Yeah, if you communicate and if you can tell, you know, the important information, it's okay. Yeah. So, you know, that's those three things.
Okay. And you also, like you mentioned, you spent some time abroad. I'm assuming you also spent some time talking to other young founders in other countries. Was there anything that you noticed is a difference in the mindset between founders in Japan and founders abroad?
Yeah. I spent 5 months in Egypt. So let's say Egypt. Founders are way, way more aggressive. I mean, you know, so for example, if I have a sales and the Japanese, you know, just try one time, two times, and they realize, oh, this is not gonna work. And Egyptian, like, they try a lot. Yeah. So, yeah. You know, that, like, making mistake is, you know, it's like, you know, it's kind of like breathing. Yeah, it's same as breathing. Missing mistake is like, it's, yeah, what is bad? Something like that. So that mindset is really important. Indians too. Yeah, it's more aggressive than you expected. 2 times, 3 times, 4 times aggressive, I think.
Do you think all Japanese founders should also have that level of aggression or like? Yes,
I think all of them. If you do a business, if you don't, like, it's fine. But if you do it, like, and if you challenge, you know, to the world, you have to do it because you don't have connection and you don't have money. And what can you do? Your heart. Yeah.
Any tips on like how to build like more confidence to challenge yourself more and like what you just described, like what are ways how practically we can work
like
on that?
For global?
For like going global, but also like you mentioned, as a founder, all you do every day is face new challenges, and some decide to take on all these challenges and others are maybe like, maybe I'll try to do the easy things instead. But for those who like want to take on the challenges, but are not like confident enough, what are ways you can like share to like try to take on more challenges and build more confidence?
Yeah, I think, like, you know, founders tend to, you know, see always high goal, like big goal. But the most important thing, I think, the small promise and small goal every day, it's just fine. You know, you just wake up early. You just, you know, cleaning your room. Yeah, cooking healthy food. Yeah, it's very small. But it's important. And you do it every day. And then you get big goal.
I think that's a really good point. I also recently read in a newsletter that was kind of like an unintuitive thought for me that I never really thought about that way. But it's kind of also like it's not that hard to understand. But basically it said it's easier to do something every day than to do something only once or twice a week. So you would think that it's harder because you have to do it more often if you do it daily, but just as you described, the having the routine and the rhythm makes it so that you reach higher goals. But then you mentioned like maybe smaller goals on a daily basis, but then wouldn't you say it's still important to have some kind of big goal that you know you're going in this direction? Or how do you still motivate people to reach for high goals while having like a small daily routine?
So can you ask me again?
So you set small goals is important. Like if you do something daily, but not super big, then you can get a rhythm and a routine. But then I'm wondering if you just focus on small things, then maybe you're not able to achieve big things. Like maybe you need to know what's the big goal. Otherwise, you don't know which direction you're going.
Yeah, I think both are very important. Yeah. So, you know, for our program, like we have both, like, you know, program for, you know, achieving small goal. And also we set one meeting in a week and just we talking for future and big goal and how to set a big goal or, you know, the, yeah. So we balance. But small is more, you know, more weight, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a lot of people don't have that in their minds. Like, I feel like oftentimes people talk about like, oh, it's all about having a very ambitious goal that motivates you. And then if you end up like a little bit short in comparison to that, it's also fine. At least you got to somewhere where you also kind of could challenge yourself. But I think not a lot of people talk about like having also small goals that help you build a routine. Cool. Then, Hidario, thanks a lot for sharing more about the under 25-year-old founder scene. Before we wrap up the podcast, I have like three last questions that are more like rapid-fire questions, so you can answer them in one word or one sentence, whichever you prefer. The first question was, if you were not allowed to work in anything that's related to startups, what would you be working on?
Yeah, I'll be monk. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Second question. What advice would you give to under 25-year-old founders in Japan?
Learning English. Yeah.
Okay. Last one. What does Japan need to blossom?
It's very hard question. Well-being.
Well-being.
Yes, perfect. Right. Yeah.
Well-being and Zen House. All right, perfect.
Yes, right.
All right, Hidario, then thanks a lot for sharing your interesting takes and sharing your story about Zen House. And I'm happy to talk to you next time. Thank you.
Yeah, nice to talking to you.
Thanks for listening to this episode with Hidario. I really enjoy hearing his stories as I rarely see people acting with as much determination and self-reflection as him. I feel like in many ways he's living a life that many would love to follow, but can't because of the handcuffs of social expectations on how we should lead our lives. His realization that he does not want to follow the traditional unicorn path also sets him apart from many young founders, I feel. Although aiming for high-growth startups in itself is not a bad thing, I can imagine that many want to follow that path because of a lack of self-reflection. Regardless, hearing about young founders' ambitions to change the world is very inspiring, and I hope many more could at least reflect more on the impact they want to have and how they might pursue their path independent of social expectations. To learn more about Hidario's activities, make sure to check out his Twitter at liuheimatinc.jp. If you liked this episode, please follow and rate it on whichever podcast platform you're listening from, and for feedback, please reach out to jvl.podcast@gmail.com. Thanks again and see you next time.